This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear from Whitney Pittman and Tyler Donaldson as well. National Farmers Union Annual Convention kicked off in Scottsdale, Arizona over the weekend. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has this report.
National Farmers Union President joining us, Rob LaRue. Meeting underway here, a lot of conversation happening. What are some of the big highlights that you're in? Looking forward to here over the next couple days?
Well, I tell you what, as we look at DC right now and a lot of the dysfunction and just frustrated, right, we want to make sure that members, whether they're farmers union members or quite frankly farmers anywhere, that you don't get so frustrated by the conditions that you just kind of check out. If we're going to get a farm bill done, and certainly there's some uncertainty about that, it's going to take farmers continuing to speak up and talk about the need, for example, to have a safety net that truly meets the needs out there. We'll be refining our positions, but overall, the issue is about remaining engaged. What we have right now in Congress, unfortunately, is a situation where even when there is a potential middle ground, even when there are bipartisan solutions, and we know that farm bills traditionally have been bipartisan bills, and unfortunately, there's still a small group of members that are blocking a lot of those efforts. And if farmers speak up, we can make the difference so that those with cooler heads, if you will, and those that can find middle ground can get a farm bill wrapped up and get it through the halls of Congress.
That, of course, there's a lot of politics at play here as we get closer to another expiration date on a farm bill.
No kidding. You know, the question I will not answer anymore is, when do you predict the farm bill is going to be done? Because how many times have we had to change that remark over the last year or so? Here we are hoping that there will be enough calendar time that we can get this through. But, you know, when you have an institution that is struggling to get budgets through and struggling to really kind of even process any bills or legislation right now, the outlook is certainly unclear.
And you mentioned you've worked on a lot of farm bills over the years. Is this something we've seen before, or is this a unique situation?
I think what is similar to past farm bills is that we always get into a part where somebody starts saying, you know, are we ever going to get a farm bill done? And it seems impossible. And being on the inside of some of those farm bills, there were certainly moments where you think, this just isn't possible. And yet there is something that breaks, right? So I think what we're looking at right now is certainly one of those moments. It looks as bleak, I have to say, as any farm bill I've participated in. But part of that hope that we continue to have is that if senior leadership at the highest levels in both the House and the Senate signal that we should get a farm bill done and really get serious about it, then we certainly know that we have Republicans and Democrats, both from the upper Midwest and the Great Plains states and all across the country in the agriculture committees who want to get that done, who have been doing a lot of work so far on it, and we're ready to help push to make that possible.
National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue joining us on the Red River Farm Network. Coverage from the 122nd Annual National Farmers Union Convention is brought to you by Minnesota Farmers Union, North Dakota Farmers Union, South Dakota Farmers Union, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Reporting from Scottsdale, I'm Whitney Pittman.
One of the National Farmers Union priorities is competition within the livestock industry. Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Wardish says consolidation is spilling into the whole economy.
You know, on the farmer level, you have three major equipment manufacturers that dominate the industry. We have that in seed. We have that in the meat packing. It's all through everything we deal with on the farm. So it was a good message. You know, not that all mergers are bad, but, you know, in 1921, the Congress passed the Packers and Stockyards Act to break up the five, at that time, it was five big meat packers that dominated the industry. Well, now, over the years of a lot of years where we're just kind of sliding back, now we have four companies that dominate the meat packing industry, and two of them are foreign owned.
And where it says urban areas are seeing it as well.
Well, we're getting so more and more consolidated, it's having a dramatic effect. And it's, you know, it affects the people living in town too. You got the big box stores, you'll see it that are dominating, you'll see it in the rural communities. It's harder a lot less rural communities that have a hardware store, clothing store, you know, they just can't survive.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Well, a bill was introduced in the Minnesota Senate last week that would ban poultry hatching in classrooms for public and charter schools. Candace Fisher hatches chicks in her zoology class each year at Bemidji High School and says banning this practice would be a disservice to students and who may otherwise have limited exposure to agriculture.
It's really going to limit some of those opportunities. I think it's going to be the start of limiting more of the opportunities that students would have to learn about agriculture in the classroom.
Fisher believes this legislation was brought on by a concern for the well-being of the chicks.
From what I understand from other people that I've talked to, it's because they believe that these baby chicks or baby birds are being discarded and they're not being handled properly, they're not being taken care of. And I can tell you that all of the chicks that I have hatched myself in my classroom have all went to homes. I never have a problem giving away the chicks. I just make sure that they go to good homes.
And Fisher says she has contacted the author of the bill and plans to continue communicating with state legislators. U.S. Senate approved the six appropriation bills previously approved by the House of Representatives over the weekend. The Agriculture Appropriations Bill fully funds the Farm Service Agency's guaranteed and direct loans, provides $2 million for a new policy research center at North Dakota State University. It also provides more than $50 million in ag research funding for North Dakota through the ARS, or Ag Research Service, and the National Institute of Food and Agriculture Research, which is conducted by NDSU and across North Dakota. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says reservoirs along the Red River of the North are ready for any potential spring flooding. St. Paul District Water Management Section Chief Liz Nelson says the reservoirs are ready for spring snowmelt or any rain event. Corps officials are saying they are prepared to make any necessary adjustments based on the lack of snowpack across the basin. USDA's March supply-demand report came in about as expected. The only change USDA made to the 23-24 corn crop was lowering the farm gate price by a nickel to $4.75 per bushel. USDA made no changes to the soybean balance sheet, and USDA reduced wheat exports by 15 million bushels, raising wheat ending stocks by 15 million bushels to 673 million, which is 18% higher than last year. Season average farm gate price for wheat was lowered by a nickel to $7.75 per bushel. Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strumman says USDA pretty much just kicked the can down the road in Friday's report.
When you look at the corn numbers, basically South American production was unchanged. The U.S. stocks were left alone as well. World stocks were slightly lower by 2.4 million metric ton. But again, you look at Brazil's production, that's unchanged, and Argentina was raised a million metric tons. So not a lot of news in the corn. You look at the soybeans, again, they did cut Brazil's production by 1 million metric ton to 155. But, you know, a lot of traders were thinking that could be lower. Argentina was left unchanged, and U.S. stocks were unchanged.
And U.S. Commodities President Don Rose says grain traders started to bring some money back to the market following that supply and demand report.
It feels like we've got the bearish news fully dialed into the market. And, you know, when you get a report, the March report, you know, I think the belief was maybe we would even take the Brazil soybean and corn crop down more than they did. They just barely took the bean crop down, left the corn unchanged. I think there's some real discrepancies on that one, so we'll see. But it did take the world-ending stocks down on corn, beans, and wheat, so at least it said the signal that the world-ending stocks are not getting bigger.
Summit Commodities brokerage partner Tom Fitzenmeyer says the focus will now shift to the acreage speculations at the end of the month.
You're pretty rapidly going to see the market shifting to speculation on what that March 31st acreage and stocks numbers are going to say. And then starting basically next week, we're going to really be watching closely, particularly the Brazilian weather for the safrinha crop.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The International Sugar Beet Institute, just a couple of days away. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
This year's ISBI program looks to focus on the future and where the sugar beet industry is going. AgWeek editor Jenny Schlecht shares some of what is on the schedule for this year's International Sugar Beet Institute.
This year at International Sugar Beet Institute, we have a couple of really good speakers to talk about kind of the future, really. William Adderholt, the director of Grand Farm, is going to talk about Grand Farm, about what they're doing there and how that really impacts crop research and ag research and development that is important for all farmers to hear about. And then Mark Affenrud, he's an industry leader for a long time. He's going to talk about kind of the history of sugar beet industry and where we might be going from here in light of that history.
Schlecht expects a lot of discussion to be had concerning water conservation in the face of continued potential drought conditions for the year.
There are drought concerns, especially in the northern Red River Valley, when we're talking the Grand Forks area where ISBI is this year. There are some drought concerns, and I'll be surprised if that's not a topic of conversation among farmers is, are we going to get some moisture up there before we start planting, or after? Are we going to get those timely rains after things get planted? And also, are we going to get in the field pretty soon? Because we've got much nicer conditions than we have in recent years. I think those are going to be hot topics. I think there'll probably be some conversation about sugar markets as well. American crystal sugar coming off a record year in pretty much every aspect of from yield to prices. And I have a feeling that that'll be something people are talking about, too.
And it wouldn't be a 2024 ag event without people discussing the farm bill.
But I think the farmers probably just want to see it done so they know what we're dealing with for crop insurance and farm programs and things like that. But I do think that the weather, you can't get away from the weather in this region, so that's usually a pretty strong topic of conversation.
That was Ag Week editor and ISBI planner Jenny Schlecht. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Checking markets before we leave you this morning, a little softer across the board. We're 2 to 5 lower across the wheat complex. Corn trading 4, 4.5 lower, and we're 7, 7.5 lower in the soybeans here this morning. On the farm calendar, National Farmers Union's 122nd National Convention continuing in Scottsdale, Arizona. That goes out through tomorrow. We have a Getting It Right in Canola Production virtual meeting tomorrow from 8:30 to noon. No fee to attend, but pre-registration is required. And all who pre-register will receive emailed instructions for that Zoom meeting. Also coming up tomorrow, South Dakota State University, SDSU Extension, hosting, it's another one of the 3-day estate planning and farm succession conferences. That's at the Watertown Regional Center Extension. Again, that gets underway each day, begins at 10 a.m., gets done about 4 p.m. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network.